Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for this time in praise and worship and with you as you speak to us and teach us and help grow our character. Open our hearts and our minds to everything that you have to speak to us today. And help us to apply it in our daily lives as we leave from here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So a brief recap. You know, first few chapters, we're going to be going through a little bit more here. But it's been talking about the half-heartedness of man. And a lot of the same things that we see today. At this point, you know, the priest had become very lax. And we're going to see a little bit of why here today as well. Just a little bit. But people, you know, it's very much, we're kind of doing things half-heartedly. Right? It became very legalistic. They're doing things because they felt they had to do it, right? It was what was expected of them. It wasn't that they wanted to do it. They didn't have a joyful heart about it. Their passion, you know, and that fire that they had inside for the Lord when everything came together and the temple was rebuilt and they're able to go in and start praising and worshiping again, you know, their timelines weren't met the way that they felt. You know, that people forget, we're not the boss of God. God's the boss of us. We serve him, right? And because all the prophecies and everything weren't happening in their timeline, they're very much like, God doesn't care. Why should we, right? They forgot their place. And they started letting people slide based on their prominence and their wealth and all that kind of stuff, right? They started twisting the word and doing to do what they want, to say what they wanted, you know, and sleeping around, and they were using it to justify themselves, all right? And that's what we're going to be looking more at today, as well as God's continued warning for the people, and he's warning them then just like he's warning us today. So keep that in the back of your mind. And we're going to go ahead and open up your Bibles, your Bible apps, whatever it is that you're using. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And the word says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." That's kind of, it gets kind of deep there, doesn't it? You know, and what we're seeing here is that people are whining, they're complaining, right? They're moaning, and they're pointing the finger at God. And they're saying that he's been neglecting them, that he doesn't care, right? Like, oh, this is all this that's going on, this is all your fault. Why don't you do something about it? Right? Trying to put the onus on him. And as if that wasn't bad enough, like, you know, like I mentioned before, they were trying to justify their sin by twisting the word to say that God had condoned their behavior, or at the very least, excused their sin. Right? Like, oh, it's okay. Whatever. Right? It's like, how sad is that? But we see it today, don't we? People want to twist it to justify the ends, right? Justify the means. You know, they've been twisting it, and they'd use that twist to fit their narrative. Who else does this? Who else? Satan. Right? He omits things. He twists the word. He puts it in a certain way to fit his narrative, or to at very least get you to question God, right? So people learned it somewhere. Now we know where we learned it, right? Because we go all the way back to Genesis. Adam and Eve started right there. People start to look to insert words even, you know, or demanding something literal to be shown of Jesus. Asking, you know, it's kind of like taking the Bible, right? And someone saying, oh, I don't believe it. What does the Bible say about cell phones? Show me where it says something about cell phones. I want to see the word cell phone in the Bible. How ridiculous is that, right? But people do it. People do it. They don't take into account that the Bible says plenty about communicating with one another, right? That's a big part of why it says to love one another. The golden rule, it comes from the Bible, right? There's a lot in there about communication, but they're like, no, I want to see the exact words. Really? Did they even have phones back then? I don't think so. All the minds and the genius and everything else that was going on at that time, you know, building pyramids and everything else back in the day, I don't think that they'd even come up with a way yet to tie a couple of cups together and see if sound traveled down that line. But people do say just silly stuff. And they want to see it. They demand to see it. We see it today. People caught up in witchcraft, adultery, abusing one another, right? Cheating others, withholding things that are due. Now, come on, we have a ton of laws for business for just that very reason. Because there's a lot of businesses and business owners out there that want to cheat people out of their pay because they want to keep as much as possible, right? And they're hoping, well, you know, if do enough and nobody says anything, then I could just do it to everybody and it builds up. That's just one example of many. It's nothing different back then. You know, a lot of businesses. You know, as much as I hate to say it, there's churches out there. And I use the term kind of loosely at this point when it comes to that, because I look at them more as business. Because they do. They like to use their people. They like to take advantage of them, right? There's that whole confusion of kindness for weakness. And they disguise their bullying as kindness. And unfortunately, a lot of people get caught up in it. They get guilted into it, right? And they end up being taken advantage of. Not just church, a lot of businesses. There's people out there, oh, I'm your friend, but I'm going to take advantage. I need your car. Right? And then they go and they get a wreck or pop for drinking and driving. A lot of things happen. But, you know, people, they're there, they're making a big stink. Their hearts were hardening. And it's still happening today, unfortunately. You know, and what we're seeing here, God wasn't having it. He's like, nope. He's drawn a line in the sand. He's gotten tired of people's shenanigans, people trying to tell him, right? It's like, really? Who are we to tell God anything? Right? To demand like that, to point the blame at him for our own misdeeds and our own failings. But that's what they're doing. God was at that point. He's telling people, hey, we're done here. You need to stop. You need to start looking at yourself and take accountability for your own stuff, right? The stuff that you're doing, the stuff that you're saying. And, you know, but like I said, people were arrogant. They're essentially trying to gaslight God. Saying, hey, you're neglecting us. But really, what was the truth? They were neglecting him. They'd become very legalistic. You have to do this, you have to do that. When the crows at 3 in the morning, you got to stand up and do this and face this direction. And none of it was because they wanted to. They weren't giving the way that they should of their time and their resources and their finances. They weren't spending time in the Word or studying. They're caught up in their own stuff. They're caught up in the ways of the world. And they're pointing a finger at God. And he reached the boiling point where he's like, nope, enough is enough. Enough is enough, and it's time for change. I'm sick and tired of this. Stop. And if you don't stop, I'm going to make you stop. And it's going to happen right now. That's basically what God was saying, right? Enough is enough. He'd had enough of the sinful lifestyles and the cynicism. That's a big one, isn't it? Today we refer to it as being sarcastic, right? People get kind of snarky. It's like, oh, that Jesus stuff. Yeah, a lot of that today. So much so that he told him, hey, you know what? I'm going to send a messenger. Matter of fact, when you look at it, he's sending two messengers. It's like, we're going to write this ship. We're going to write it right now. End of story. You know, his messenger was going to go and he was going to set things right. He was going to go and he's going to weed out those hypocrites that were professing a counterfeit faith. And that's exactly what it is, a counterfeit faith. You know, they want to be all high and mighty. They're going to go and put on the Ritz, all dressed up. Hi, how you doing? That big fake cheese-eating grin like a used car salesman. Hi. Give me your money. If you don't give, it's because you don't believe. You don't have faith. Even if you're homeless, give us all your money. Sell your car. Give us more. It's not enough. Right? Oh, it's okay if you sin. Come on in. We're gonna pray. We're gonna put a flag out in front of our church, saying it's okay. You just come on in here. Your sin's excused. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But we see that in a number of ways, a number of flags. More and more so. You know, the people who were still acting sinfully and doing the things that they shouldn't, justice was about to be handed out. You know, the time for a purification had come. You know, and I love the fact that it talks about purification here. You know, because it talks about the refinement of pure metals, right? Those are metals that still hold weight today, hold a lot of value today. But it also talks about the launderer's soap. And I think that's probably what touches us a little bit more. Because the launderer's soap, you think, has anybody in here, well, I know at least one person in here, has anybody in here ever had to do their laundry by hand? Marine Corps boot camp, we all have to do our laundry by hand. A big concrete slab and a spigot. You go out there with your canteen cup and a little soap and a scuzz brush. You do it all by hand. And when you're done, you put it up on a wire to dry it, and you hope by the time you have to go back and get it, it's actually dry and it hadn't rained the day before. Or it's not raining at that time. That's happened too. But the launderer's soap, when you have to do your laundry by hand, it's a process. It takes time. And you can have, you know, maybe it's just like sweat, a little grime, a little dirt. You're in there. You have to put some elbow grease in there to scrub it. Sometimes you get those really hard stains. They're stubborn. They don't want to come out, right? You're sitting there. You're trying to put a little soap on there first and just really mesh it in there. You're scrubbing the tar out of it. Sometimes you get those spots where it's like you rub and rub and rub, and after a couple months, and you know it's the same place, like around the knees or whatever, because you're low crawling or whatever in the mud and all this other gunk and stuff, and the fabric's getting a little thin. So you're afraid to scrub too hard because you don't want to tear it and have a hole in it. That's a whole other bag of worms with your drill instructors or if other branches, your drill sergeants yelling at you. You know, but we're the same. The way God comes into our lives and he purifies us, and we're stubborn, and we don't want to change certain things in our lives. We don't want to give up certain sins. Like, really? Like, but it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Like, do I really have to give this up? It's like, you want me to give up the booze? Really? It's like, I can't just go out and party all the time? You know, I had to give up sleeping around all the time. I had to give up the gambling, really? And we're stubborn. We're set in our ways. We don't want to give that stuff up. We like it because we've bought into the addiction and don't even necessarily realize it, right? That's the tricky part of addiction. So you're addicted and you don't necessarily realize that you've become addicted. And so Jesus is in there and he's scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and putting a little bit more out. If you've ever had someone take a brush to you, even, it hurts. Sometimes it gets downright painful. I think everybody in here has been punched at least once. It doesn't tickle. But, you know, our sin are those stubborn stains in our life that we just don't want to let go of. So they get scrubbed a little harder until they finally release and they come out, right? That chain has been broken. And we could say we've been saved, right? Our life changes. Our character changes. The way we go about life changes. And it's those defining moments that we have to understand is when Jesus is at work in our lives and purifying us. And he's bringing us closer and closer to the Father. You know, and as painful as it can be, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, all of the above, we have to remember it's because of his love, and his love ultimately is worth it. All right, so going back into our reading here, I'll remember to hit the slide this time. So Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. So, verses 6 through 12, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." So God was calling, you know, it was basically going to his next issue. He's calling people out for their dishonesty. Their dishonesty in their faith and their dishonesty in giving, as they've been told to do. You know, and let's start, because there's a couple issues here. Like I said, let's start. Faith, right? Which is a big issue. These are both issues that we see today. Faith is the biggest one, right? What is faith? Trust in God. Broken down in the simplest terms, faith is trust in God. How much do you trust him? Right? And people had turned their backs. They turned their backs on him. They no longer cared about forgiveness and restoration. At least not with him. Right? And with a lot of other people, people had become bitter. They were bitter. Why were they bitter? Well, you know, why was this happening? Well, it's for the same reason that it's happening today. People refused to admit their sin. They didn't want to give up their sin. They didn't want to be called out on their sin. Instead, they did everything in their power to flip that script and make themselves out to be the good guy. Every step of the way, they had to paint the light with them being the good guy. When really, the reality is quite the opposite. Right? Just like today, we get upset about a lot of things in our lives. Who is usually the culprit? As much as we want to say, the devil made me do it, who's usually the culprit? It's usually us. We're our own worst enemy. We make the choice. No one made us do it. We chose to do it. And we created the situations that we fall into. But we don't want to admit it. Say, oh, no. I was sin-free in this. No. We weren't, unfortunately. And the mentality that had been taken on was one in which people tried to use God's grace to justify their sin. And they saw God's grace as a free pass. You know, very much the, well, you know, he's forgiven us before. He'll forgive us again. It's all right. Just go do you. Go do you, boo. Right? Sound familiar? You know, but I'll remind you, you know, the grace of God doesn't free us to sin. It frees us from sin. It frees us from sin. And the caveat to that is we are not to go back to it. But everybody wants to go back to it. The chain's been broken, right? The ball and chain on that ankle, it's gone. People are like, oh no, I want to go. Put it back on. I want one more drink. Come on. One more fix. Let's do this. Come on. Bring it. Right? One more woman. One more man. One more machine. Ding, 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 ding. I turned my 20 into 200. Yes. Put the bonds back on. We're supposed to be freed from that sin, not go back to it. So stop looking at it. You've been freed. Be grateful. Walk away. The rest will fall in place. The healing is allowed to begin at that point. And the next part was tithing. Tithing at that time, especially, as much as, you know, tithing is a word that gets thrown around a lot, right? It was a tax. It was offerings, because it also says offering here, right? But it was a gift from the people to support the Levitical priests who weren't supposed to be working. They weren't supposed to have any crops or any livestock or anything like that. So they had no means to sustain and support themselves. So especially at that time, God had provision and told people, hey, this is the tithe. This is how you're going to do about it. This is the rotation it's going to be in. These are the things you're going to tithe. Because as much as a lot of people are going to say it's all about money, it's not all about money. Right? Because they were taking them food and drink and everything that they needed, their clothing. How many people in here would be well off if they had to depend on other people to go and get them clothes right now? You had nothing and you had to depend on someone to go and get you clothes. Most of us wouldn't trust anybody to go and get us socks, let alone underwear, right? Maybe a t-shirt? But that's what the priest had to rely on. And that's what this was all supposed to go to, was to support them, to free them up so they can concentrate on the work that the Lord had set in front of them. Their own studies, their own prayer, taking care of the temple and all the maintenance thereof, right? Preaching to people, teaching people, counseling people, seeing to all their spiritual needs and teaching them all the things that God had to say and all the things that God had to teach and how to apply them to our daily lives. But just like today, people get upset. Hey, Pastor, why don't you have time to come and see me? Why don't you have time to call me? Why don't you have time to go and do this? Why do we have to schedule that out so far? Right? Because nobody wants to give the way that they're supposed to. Nobody wants to support things the way that they're supposed to. So at that time, because people weren't giving the way that they're supposed to, these priests had to go out and start finding other work just to be able to eat, let alone take care of the temple. And all that stuff costs money. All of it costs money. It all takes time. And they are being robbed of that time. So thinking about that, if you were robbed of all your time, you're expected to do all this other stuff. And when it came time to do your actual work, how excited would you be to do that work? How much fire and passion would you have to do that work? How excited would you be to get up, get dressed, and go into work that day? Not many of us. Most of us would be pretty just like, ugh. It's like, I just need 10 minutes for myself, maybe a half hour to sleep. But that's what they were doing. They were working two jobs. And it wasn't like a 9-to-5. Because you think about it, crops, livestock, that's a morning till evening thing, right? Sun up, sun down. Going to the markets was the same thing, because you had to take all this stuff in. You had to set it up. You had to break it down. You had to take it all out. You didn't get to leave anything. And then they were still expected to take care of the spiritual needs of the people. What sense does that make? Now we kind of see a little aha why they'd become so kind of humdrum and half-hearted about it, right? It's disheartening. It's disappointing. So their time had been robbed. And people, like I said, people are giving very little to nothing at all. They weren't supporting the people God had placed in front of them and said, hey, support them. They got caught up in stuff. It's that mentality of, I worked for it. Why should I give any of it up? This is mine. Right? We have that same mentality today, do we not? It's like, I busted my butt for hours. Why should I give any of this up? Right? People become Scrooges. A lot of people, they withhold because they don't actually have faith in God to actually meet their needs, to take care of their needs. Right? We forget that everything that we have is actually God's, and God's given it to us. He's entrusted us with it to take care of it. But people don't trust in him. They don't trust in his word. They don't trust in what he's told us. They don't trust in what he's shown us. Oh, it's been so long. And so they don't give. They hoard it for themselves. Like, oh no, I need this. I need this. I'm saving up for that, I don't know, that special something. Right? It's like, yeah, you know, I could give this, but I want to hold on to it. Because I know next year there's a brand new video game console coming out. And I want that next video game console, right? Or something along those lines. Oh, the next iPhone's coming out. But the price is going up another $500. So I need to hold on to this so I can afford that. Now, there's a big one. That's probably a little bit more relatable than video games for some people. Because I do. There's a lot of adults out there like, hey, what phone do you have? Oh, you need to switch. You got an Apple? No, you need an Android. Oh, you got an Android? No, you need to switch over. So people don't give. Instead, they hoard everything to themselves, and they forget what Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 38. So Luke 6, verse 38. Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, what you give is what you're going to get. People expect the world, but they want to give nothing for it. Go to work. Hey, how you doing? What's up? What you doing? Most or least amount of work possible for maximum pay. Is that what you were hired for, though? Is that what's expected of you? That's what a lot of people do, though. A lot of people do it. Like I said, we have to remember, everything that we have is really a gift from God. It was never ours to begin with. And he's watching us to see how we're going to use these gifts. How we're going to use these gifts to support other people and bless other people and lift up other people and sow into the kingdom to point the way to Jesus, right? How we're going to love on one another with the gifts that we've been given. Okay, great. You have a car. He doesn't. Why don't you give him a ride, right? Pastor Mike does that a lot. In fact, Brian just did that on the 4th of July. We're up at the post. One of our soldiers up there, His wife had taken off early, so he was waiting for someone to give him a ride. Well, the person who said they'd give him a ride apparently forgot because they had already left. I found that out because it's like, well, why are you waiting on her? She's not, you know, it's like, Brian's leaving right now. Why don't you go with him? Hey, Brian, come over here. Could you give him a ride? Brian was gracious, gave him a ride. Went in there. It's like, yeah, hey, tell, I'm not going to throw their name out because I don't want to embarrass anybody if they're watching. But hey, tell so-and-so that they don't have to worry about giving Jim a ride. Brian's taking him. Oh, why is he waiting on her? She left like a half hour ago. Oh, good thing Brian's giving her a ride. Or giving him a ride. But it happens. How do we use our gifts? And here's the thing. When we withhold, when we don't use things the way that we're supposed to, when we don't give of things the way that we're supposed to, when we hoard those things up for ourselves, we're like, mine, my precious. And we're like Gollum with the ring, right? My precious, my shiny. When we do this, we actually become thieves ourselves. We're stealing from God. We're robbing God. He's given us resources. He's given us material things. He's given us financial things, right? He's given us wisdom. He's given us so many things that we can use to bless others, to counsel others, to teach others, to help others. And we withhold. You got a gift to play an instrument, but you only want to do it at home or in front of a couple people. No. I did that for years. For years I did that. Matter of fact, if someone would come into the house, I would stop playing and I would put it away. I'm guilty of that. I know other musicians just as guilty of that. Yep. There's one hand up over there. Yeah, there's another hand over there. Yeah. Guilty. If we're all on the praise team, imagine that. Using the gifts. And it's funny, because I was actually talking about this at the Post on the 4th of July. Because we have other musicians there as well. And we got to talking, and the subject that came up where we were talking about was when COVID hit. Remember when COVID hit, everything was shutting down. And there were a lot of musicians out there who depended on their gigs to pay their bills. And there are a lot of people out there like, I can't find a gig to save my life. I'm putting in for unemployment and this and that. And I'm sitting there, really? I got a gig every week. What do you mean you have a gig every week? Everything's closed. Like, well, when you play for Jesus, you got a gig every week. There's lots of churches looking for musicians. Go find yourself a church. Start playing. Even if you're not getting paid, it feels pretty good. As a musician, when you actually get something put together and you're up there and you're performing, you're using your gifts, you're giving to other people, you're sharing that gift with other people, it feels good. It really does. Sometimes we muff things up. It happens. Anybody ever go to work and not mess something up at some point? Yeah. We've got a couple people in here who've driven buses or big vehicles. Well, heck, I don't even have to say that. Anybody in here who's ever been behind the wheel of a car has hit a curb at some point. It just came out of nowhere, right? But we're using those gifts. Like Pastor Mike is great about giving people rides almost every week. Pastor Hollins at our sister church out in Laguna, same thing. He actually went out and got a vehicle, and he does that religiously. Who needs a ride? Loads them up in that van, and they're gone. Right? A lot of people are really good about that. It's like, I have this. I have the ability to do this. Great. Go do it. Use those gifts. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we look to God like he owes us something, but the reality is he owes us nothing, and we owe him everything in return, and he asked for so little, but we demand so much, don't we? And we need to remember that when we give, we need to give happily. Give because we want to, with a happy heart, right? It's like you have something, you know it's not going to do you any good anymore. You don't care about it. You haven't used it in forever, but you know someone who can make a really good use of it. Like, you know what? Here, let me give that to them. They're going to get some use out of it, and it makes you feel good. because even though that blessing isn't bringing you any happiness anymore now, it's bringing you one last little bit of happiness, and it's bringing joy to somebody else, right? Maybe you upgraded to a new coffee pot. You know somebody who needs a coffee pot, so you give them the old one. Made me a lot of great coffee. I know it'll work for you too. Enjoy. Right? See, when we give happily, we give freely, and we remember, you know, we do this. We have to, we also, we remember that God promised that he's going to reward us for our stewardship and our giving. What we give, we're going to get in return. But I'll remind you, nowhere in here does it say we're going to get all that blessing here on earth, because we're not. In fact, quite the opposite. The word actually tells us our riches are stored up in heaven, right? Where rust and moths and all that stuff ain't going to get to it, where it's going to last for eternity. And that's where it's at. That's where the bulk of our riches are, waiting for us. Because our needs will be met while we're here on earth. If we trust in God, when we look to God, when we lean to God and we depend on God, it's all going to come back to us. And really, for time's sake, I'm not going to go into it. But take a note. I'd encourage everybody to go and read it on their own time in Matthew 25. Because our giving and the way it comes back to us is very much like the three servants. All right, I'm going to paraphrase here. Basically, there is a master. He was going out on a trip. He had three servants come to him. He gave them all bags of a coin, basically, bags of silver. He said, take care of this while I'm gone. He goes off on his trip. He comes back. The first slave comes up, says, Master, you entrusted me with five bags of silver. I went and I invested it, and I doubled it. Here you go. You've done well, my good and faithful servant. Second servant comes up. You entrusted me with two bags of gold or silver or whatever, right? Like I said, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact number. I'm just kind of pulling it out of a rabbit's hat. But you entrusted me with so many bags. I went and I doubled it. Good job, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate, right? So far, everything's going good. So far, all the funds are being invested wisely and doubled. And you'll notice here with the numbers, everybody's gotten a different amount because no one's blessing is the same, right? Finally, the third servant comes and says, I know you can be harsh, and I was afraid. So I buried it in the sand so nothing would happen to it. Here's your bag back. Ho, 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 you a little faith. I'm so disappointed. And then he sends him away. And notice the parallel here. Sends him away into darkness where there's pain and gnashing of teeth. Where does that sound familiar? Yeah, not anywhere we want to go, huh? Quite the opposite direction. Like I said, that's kind of the Cliff Notes. Read it for yourself. It's a great, but it applies. It's the same thing. When we give and how we invest is how it's going to come back to us and how we're going to be celebrated when we go on to be with the Father. All right? So we have to invest the gifts that we have so wisely. And in doing so, we show our love for him. We show our trust in him. We show our relationship with him. Our character, it all comes back to him. So I'm going to tell everybody, when it comes to the way you give, of everything, we all need to take time and evaluate ourselves. Giving of our time, our talents, our resources. Are you giving the way that you should? And in doing so, we all need to keep in mind, again, this is indicative of our trust and our relationship with God. So in asking ourselves if we're giving as we should, we're actually asking ourselves, do I truly trust God? And do I truly trust God with my life and meeting my needs? Because the answer to that is the actual litmus test that you're using to measure where your relationship truly is with God and what you need to work on. But make no mistake in doing so, he loves you.
He wants you to come home. That's why he's given us these warnings, saying, hey, if you do this and you turn back and you do what's right and you do what I've commanded, it's all going to be okay. I forgive you. I love you. Come back. I want to be able to bless you. And not only do I want to bless you, but I want to bless you so much that your cup overfills. I want to bless you so much that it's coming out of the windows and you don't even have enough places to store it all. I don't know, I think of that and I get this picture of Scrooge McDuck in his vault and he's just going down all the coins. Woohoo! But you take that picture and God wants to bless you so much more. But you have to trust in him. You have to be willing to give, because giving is how we love our neighbor. It's how we love on each other. All right? It's on us to open the door and let him into our lives so that he can bless us as well. And on that note, let us pray. Lord, we come before you in thankfulness for all these reminders of how we've misstepped as a people, how we've misstepped individually. We thank you for allowing us to see the errors of our ways and know that we can lean into you for help to fix them, and we can correct these errors through you and with you. We ask for your guidance and your hand of blessing as we move to do so. We ask for your forgiveness for all of our transgressions or our missteps, and we ask that you help to remove those temptations from our lives so that we can fill that space with the things that are truly important, to fill that space with you instead of the world. You know, help us to take all that you've spoken to us and apply it to our lives as we leave here today. And you know, we love you. We pray for your guidance in these troubled waters of our life. And all of his people said, amen. Amen and amen. Remember, as you leave here today, you're loved, you are blessed, so go and be the church. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.